Sledgehammer Pride.
It's that time of year again, where your nice hosts take a few weeks off from new episodes. But before we do, we pick a few of our favorites from the past year to heat up in the microwave and serve to you while we're on hiatus. In previous years, we each pick a few episodes and explain why we picked them. But this year, Ellen picked them all because Mark and I were too lazy, probably. This week's nice replay is episode 240, Nice Thinking, Sledgehammer Bride, originally published October 28th, 2021.
Sledgehammer Bride!
If it wasn't clear why we picked this before, it's because this concept is the most amazing thing that I will ever develop. No, that's not true. I will develop more things. I will be an amazing developer. I don't know why I'm talking about this like,
you know,
as
an unrealized concept,
yeah.
It is the greatest thing in the world.
That's
it's
true.
So amazing.
That's actually true.
And we did get into that as a concept of like, it's you've held on to this concept for so long.
I have.
And I think talking it out helped you focus about what the steps are to actually making it real.
Yeah.
And Ellen and I are both enormous fans of the idea and of the eventual game. We're the first fans. Like,
yeah,
we have that distinction.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know what? I should listen to this one again, too. So I'm going to listen with y'all as you're listening to this one. Because there's some things I need to think about when I pitch this game.
Sledgehammer Bride!
Okay, so I haven't done this ever before, but there are you know, places around here, maybe in the Midwest, maybe elsewhere, but definitely in the Midwest, where they'll do like pumpkin drops.
Oh.
You know what a pumpkin drop is?
No.
Like when a brand new pumpkin is released?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and we're here to hype it. We're going to hype pumpkins. That was really good, Mark. No, they'll take like the biggest pumpkins made that season, like grown that season. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about like pumpkins as big as your room, pumpkins as big as a couch, pumpkins as big as a car.
Right.
And they'll like chain it up and then they'll lift the pumpkin with a crane. Like with a construction crane.
Uh-huh.
These are like tons of pumpkin. And they'll lift it up really, really high and they'll get everyone out of the way. And they'll just release it.
Out of the way. It's an important step.
It is an important step. There are people around.
Yeah.
Because usually it's like some kind of fall festival. And they'll take this giant pumpkin and they'll lift it up in the air like 100 feet or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they'll let it go and it just falls and it just splats all over the ground.
And then all the children come and collect the innards.
Exactly what happens. Exactly what happens, and also the reason why you make sure there's a step where you get everyone out of the way because everyone is children. you don't want to, and just no one wants their cause of death on their obituary to be like pumpkin,
right?
you know.
So we've done this format, Nice Thinking, which is new to the show. So new that the website doesn't have a piece of metadata for it. So
we got to do.
We're updating that. Just bear with us. But the idea is that somebody, either us or a guest, will bring in an idea and we just workshop it. So it's a little bit like our Nice Games Jams, but much more focused and more purposeful.
Yeah.
And the first one we did, Ellen had a really cool idea. The second one, I had a pretty cool idea.
And Steven, now I'm up to that,
and
I guess.
And now it is your turn, Steven, to further prove the validity of this format by bringing an idea you've had for a very long time.
That's true. It's been a while since I've talked about this. I probably talked about it on the show, too. I brought up the idea of wanting to talk about Sledgehammer Bride, which would be an action platformer where you play as a bride whose spouse was stolen from her, and you have a sledgehammer and you beat things up with it.
I'm so excited.
A lot of the premise, frankly.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
You're kind of underselling how cool the milieu of this concept is.
Well, I'm underselling it now because we're going to talk about it here.
Yeah. We'll say, so Steven, we've had conversations about this over the years from time to time.
Yeah.
And I'm always, particularly because you are very much a mechanics focused person. Like the way that you approach game development is game design first.
Yeah.
And that's what interests you most. That's where you have the most experience and skill. And then the rest of gameplay is important to you, like aesthetics and story and all of that stuff. That matters to you.
Right.
But it's not where you come into it. It's not how you enter into a product.
Yeah, and it's easiest for me to think about it in that perspective.
Yeah, and the thing I love about Sledgehammer Bride is you do have all your general, you know, kind of this is how Steven approaches a topic.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you talk about it, every time we bring it up, I always think about the other parts of it. And so it feels kind of unique for you.
Oh.
Am I wrong, or is it just because I tend to approach things from other ways that that's what I'm picking up on?
I think it matches. Well, I think part of it is like because this idea is pretty precious to me. I want to do it justice in a whole bunch of different ways outside of just, oh, this is a cool idea for a game.
Yeah.
So that kind of does track. But I do think I am like approaching it from a gameplay and mechanics perspective first. Because like that came, oh, well, no, I don't know. That's actually not true. Now that I think about it, I think initially when I first brought up the idea of this game, I was thinking of it not in terms of its gameplay and stuff. But now I am thinking of it.
Yeah.
In a bunch of different ways and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're here to hammer it out.
Yes. Okay. So the main gameplay mechanic of this game is like this: you play as a character that does not have a block or a dodge button. You just hit stuff. That's the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
When you do, you can do light attacks and heavy attacks. That's how I'm thinking about doing it right now. But when you do heavy attacks during certain frames of your animation or whatever, you will like, you have like super armor, so you'll be able to like go through your opponent's hitting and, you know, power through it effectively. Yeah. Because your attack is so powerful that they can't stop it.
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer. Maybe it should be like a rock, like heavy metal music. I don't really listen to heavy metal music that much, but like maybe that's a thing. Anyway.
More points scored with me.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the main conceit. And what I want from this is I kind of want the game to feel like an expression of pure like anger.
Yeah.
And rage. Cause I mean, your spouse is taken from you.
Yeah.
And you gotta go get them back. And it's like, dang, we're about to get married. And you took this from me. This was my day. It's not your day. And then you get to beat him up. Like, oh, I'm feeling impassioned about it. I already just think about it.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell a little bit, so we haven't talked about it on this episode yet, but can you, when we were driving in the car a few weeks ago, you were telling me about like the narrative setup. Do you want to talk about that at all? Or are you going to save some mechanics?
Yeah. I mean, I can talk about that. Like there's not a lot of narrative. I haven't thought a lot about like the actual things that will happen throughout the game. Mm-hmm. I just thought about, you know, the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally at your wedding, and you're about to say your vows, and then right now I'm thinking demons. It feels kind of weird for me to say that. I'm not like super religious, but I'm not religious. Anyways, demons spawn in the church. They break through the windows and they take your spouse. And there's like one demon, and then some of them have a bunch of sledgehammers or something. And then like you as Sledgehammer Bride. Well, you're just Bride now because you don't have a sledgehammer yet.
You don't level up till the end of this cutscene. Yeah.
You like jump into the air, you take down this demon that has a sledgehammer, and you take the sledgehammer, it's your sledgehammer now. You smash the demon over the head with the sledgehammer, and game starts.
Oh, interesting. I'm not sure this makes a lot of difference to you, but in my conception, it was Sledgehammer Bride gets married. And then, and then the demons come and take your would-be spouse, and then you pull out the sledgehammer and go to work.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of like the idea that Sledgehammer Bride is forged by this experience.
Yeah.
And becomes the Sledgehammer
Bride.
Yeah. That works for me too.
Okay, cool.
Maybe that's what she discovers along the way, is that the sledgehammer was inside her all along.
At some point, like any good narrative, you lose the sledgehammer, and then who are you then?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so that's like the main narrative conceit, and I haven't really thought literally like what was going to happen. I think I had an idea where like turns out this spouse is also evil or something, but that felt wrong. I don't think I wanted to do that. I think I just kind of want it to be you go after them and bring them back so you can get married.
Like a little Save the Princess story. It's not really about them. It's about it's about Sledgehammer Bride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's just going to be obstacles in the way, and you just beat them up. You get past them that way. Then, like, it feels kind of old school in its concept, because it kind of reminds me of, like, this is probably a bad thing, but it just kind of reminds me of Duke Nukem a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Just like an action hero doing action hero-y things.
Yeah.
But, like, for it... Well, exactly.
There's a difference there because the thing about Duke Nukem or other like over the top presentations, or even like Hades or any other thing where you destroy a lot of enemies, is there's a certain kind of like thrill and joy that comes out in the character that the player is supposed to experience.
Right.
But like Ellen was alluding to, the discussion you were having with us when we were driving the other day is this feeling of anger.
Yeah.
And that's really important to you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, part of what I'm thinking of here is like, I mean, I am a black man. I don't know if that has not been clear because you just hear my voice. I hope I sound like a black man. But
nicegames.com/feedback.
Not black enough for the podcast. No. And so like in a lot of places in my life, I don't get to express the anger that I feel. It's at various things, not necessarily racial things, but also just things in general. Because it is an oftentimes unsafe for me to do that in the environments that I'm in. I mean, we've talked about this on the show a few times too. So like, you know, and you know, it's also locally, you know, we have experiences locally that are very relevant to today's political climate, I guess. And so like part of the conceits that I want for this game is that like anyone who picks this up can just beat things up and express their anger however they feel like expressing it in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want for it, because Sledgehammer Bride is a black woman, and so I want you to be able to express that. I think maybe that could be part of the narrative conceit too. It's like I kind of want just these things to happen and you just be able to do something about it. Mm-hmm. I guess. And the way you do the way you go about doing things about it is by just being angry and using that anger to wreck face.
Yeah, it's a specific type of power fantasy.
Yes,
right. Yeah. So it's maybe it's not righteous anger, exactly.
It's not. No, because I don't want this game to be like bloody violent, but I don't want it to not be violent.
Right.
So I think that like I think a lot of like the things. I guess like you can think of them as if they're demons, then like it's okay to beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't necessarily want it to be, well, they're demons, so I don't want it to just be, it's okay to beat them up. I also want players to feel like they want to beat them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So that's a question about like player versus character, mm-hmm. right? So one of the things that's important to me is that I think we should endeavor to have the characters feel things that are different from what the player feels.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really valid and interesting way to approach narrative.
Sure.
But it's also incredibly powerful to have the player adopt the attitude of the character.
Yeah.
That is also a very, especially if you can get them really tightly aligned.
Yeah.
That can be really successful.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in a game like Duke Nukem, where you're meant to feel as, you know, Sakara chomping bravado, and that's kind of why that game is terrible, because it's meant to be relatable to a certain type of person, or a certain limited type of person. Mm. So is that kind of what you're going for? You want the player to actually be angry at the enemies and have that expression, or do you want them to kind of be sort of the puppet master for this avatar of anger, and maybe they can have the joyous, kind of fun, silly feeling, mm-hmm. and allow the player to or the character to express the anger, and then maybe there's a little bit more of a burden on the storytelling to express that, or
that's a good question. I guess I don't necessarily want players to be angry while they're playing the game,
mm-hmm.
But I do want players to feel like this is a space they can't express it, if they are angry,
right?
And I guess I also want players to just like feel very aggressive,
mm-hmm.
in general, just because like that's part of why like I'm thinking there shouldn't be a block button, there shouldn't be a dodge button, mm-hmm. and all of your attacks are you just hit things,
mm-hmm.
Well, and probably jump, maybe there's no jump button, but like
there's just a jumping kick, and that's
I want that aspect of it, but I don't necessarily want players to be angry while playing the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like in order for that to happen, you like the character has to do things that feel abhorrent for, like there has to be a mismatch between what the character is doing, what the player is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that like The Last of Us does things Last of Us 2 specifically does things where like Ellie will do a thing and you don't want to do the thing, but you're pressing the button.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You want the player to be angry on behalf of Sledgehammer Bride.
Yes.
Like angry with mm-hmm. her.
Yeah. Angry. Right. Yeah. Not angry with her, not angry at her.
Yeah.
Yes.
That can really work towards your sort of core theme or your core motivation, because the player can be an advocate for the character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And they don't have to be angry. They can still feel the sense of like satisfaction from expressing the anger, mm-hmm. even if it's not their anger.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And I don't necessarily want this game to be difficult either. Like, I'm sure I'll probably have like difficulty modes and stuff, but I would also perfectly be comfortable with like just a mode where like any damage you take doesn't matter and you could just still hit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can get hit, but like it doesn't stop you from hitting other things. Like, now I'm thinking about it though. Like, I'm starting to think that these are stereotypes. I didn't think about this until now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's. Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on like the difficulty and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to think about that some.
Yeah. Stereotypes in what way?
So, I mean, I guess there's like so for instance, this is kind of a heavy thing now. I'm thinking about like the excuses that like police would use to like, you know, justify shooting black men.
Yeah.
Or shooting black people is like, you know, we're superhuman and.
Yeah, it's the kind of the black brute stereotype.
Yes.
That goes way, way back.
Right.
And the idea that black teenagers are seen as adults by law enforcement very frequently, more than white 20 somethings are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's okay. There's still things I need to about
you're,
and stuff.
You're not to totally let your concept off the hook for that, because I think you still want to be looking for making sure that works for you. But there's a kind of you're trying to recontextualize that.
Yeah.
So you have, I mean, really, she's a bride.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what she is first.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that becomes the stereotype that people then can lean into first is that she's the bride on her wedding day.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, all nervous about things going right.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, waving her hands and just about to faint with excitement. And she's going to go wreck these demons.
Speaking of stereotype.
No, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
That feels like the stereotype that either you lean into as a way to contextualize the possible like racial stereotypes that you want to either confront or perhaps let the player sit with, but then you have to decide like how comfortable are you with the bride stereotype, or the bridezilla stereotype,
I'm not doing that, but it's not like, because that like changes the whole, I think that changes the whole tone of it, because now it's like you ruined my wedding, not you ruined my marriage,
right?
That's a different kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, the antagonists, demons or whatever they are, have
not
just stolen the wedding day, but literally stolen the husband.
So I don't know. I have to think about that, because like I didn't consider that until now. But that is something I don't want. I don't want that to be a deterrent from people from playing the game, too.
Yeah.
And I don't want to express that either. Mm-hmm. Like the, you know, the black brute stereotype thing.
Yeah.
I have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that came up, you know, that idea just. Hearing you think about it out loud, it came up when you're talking about different modes of play, right?
Yeah.
So
yes, it did.
So that doesn't seem like something that's not like it's fundamentally baked in. Doesn't seem like a conflict that's necessarily baked into the concept overall,
right?
But yeah, like if you are enabling lighter damage modes, then I can see how that would.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if the whole point of the constant attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly fighting is what keeps her safe.
Yeah.
If she stops fighting, then it's like one hit kill.
Well, I was thinking like the basic difficulty would you'd have like three hearts. If you get hit once, then you lose the heart.
But as long as you're swinging, you've got protection against damage. So, I mean, I think that helps a little bit. You can make her very fragile, except when she's expressing her anger.
Yeah.
In which case she's nearly invincible.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's a tough balance to hit, but like it'll work.
I feel like I don't know why I feel the need for this, but my instincts are telling me, like, if it's going to be that high intensity, high anger, like forceful progress, mm-hmm. I would want frequent breaks from that.
Oh yes. One thing I would like to do is eventually just have like platforming things that would happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't really thought about this a lot, but the one thing I was thinking about is there's like two pillars and they like slam into one another.
Whoever's editing this needs to put like a big echo on that.
If I'm doing it, it's not happening. The player can fit themselves in between those two giant pillars that are slamming into one another, and then like they would, you know, they would get stuck between I guess the sledgehammer would like prevent it from slamming all the way down, and then you could like spin off of that and like keep progressing. So it'd be kind of like a timing thing where like you actually want to get slammed by the things because the sledgehammer will block it, and then you can use that to progress forward further. I guess that's just an idea I had about like some of the level design
things. Breaking the pace a little bit.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I think Ellen, when you were saying that, one of the things I think that's pretty kind of important almost to your theme too, is mm-hmm. If you are invincible, if you are unstoppable,
yeah,
it's hard to keep that up.
Yeah.
Right. And isn't that kind of the idea? It's hard to be angry all the time.
That's true.
Especially if you're not getting it, depending on how close you are getting to your goal.
Yeah.
Right. If the ultimate fury of your anger, the ultimate expression and the ultimate effort mm-hmm. gets you a fifth of the way there.
Yeah.
You need a break, yeah. right? And then that break makes you vulnerable, yeah. right? It means maintaining that anger validates what you're angry about. Mm. If you're not angry anymore, then maybe it wasn't so bad, and then that can feel kind of stressful. So I mean, that I'm kind of trying to say what you know that those if you have these like platforming sections that have these like tense jumping mechanics and have a different kind of sense feeling, mm. I think that can tie a little bit into the story about like. The bride is relieved to be done with all the battling, but anxious to get battling again. Mm. You know?
Yeah, because you gotta get your spouse.
Yeah.
that's important. I do think that it's important though to have like different, you know, different pacing challenges, platforming challenges to, mm-hmm. to break up some of the actual beating up things aspects of it.
Yeah. Alternately, you really could just lean into it. It could be all beat up, like beat them all up all the time.
It could. Right? I think that like, yeah, I guess it could. I think that it, to me, it feels a little better, at least right now, having not tested this at all, which is, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
I think that it feels a little better to have like platforming things break up the pacing. But.
Well, I mean, it really depends on like, there's the find the fun, but there's also the like making sure it fits with what you want it to say.
Yeah.
And so if you want that, if you want to have that pacing, then make sure you do it in a way that's not just like mechanically sound, right. but actually ties into what the point of the thing is.
Yep.
And there's certainly there's ways to do it, right? Yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely. I also want to make sure that like the combat, the way that everything like hits, like all of the, especially the heavy attacks, are very solid, like knock giant things back and stuff.
Yeah.
Not like, I mean, if you knock them back, they're not like dead as soon as you hit them with the hammer one time, but like, it's gotta be real satisfying. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of imagining like her being relatively small compared to some of the bosses that you'll face.
Yeah.
And then they'll just have giant hitbox swings at you, and then you're still hitting them with the sledgehammer. And so like, you don't get knocked back, but then they get hit with the sledgehammer and they get knocked back. Or like their head like flies back. That would be really satisfying.
I love how visual this episode is. Because I can like I don't know why I've kind of cast this whole game in a similar like aesthetic to like Hollow Knight, but maybe with a little bit of Darkest Dungeon, like really, like thick edges. And I'm not suggesting this. This is just what my brain grabbed onto to try to visualize what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know, for me, the bride is like the bride is carrying the sledgehammer over her shoulder, not like dragging it on the floor. Like she's ready to crunch people with it. You know, it's that that scene you just described of like her like swinging and the boss going, gah! And like the demon tooth, like losing a demon tooth is flying out of here.
Yeah.
Actually, cool. Now that I think about it, I kind of think like this game is sort of like John Wick in how, like, there's barely any narrative in the first movie specifically. Mm-hmm. There's barely any narrative in the first movie, but, like, you know, they killed John Wick's dog. So, like,
oh man, they had to die. And I was, I was with them the whole time.
Yeah. Like,
they got the dog. They're dead.
Uh-huh.
They're dead.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah. So that's kind of what I want for this.
Yeah.
Actually, in terms of aesthetics, the way I was thinking of this game is, I mean, it's a platformer, right? So, but I guess I was thinking, like, I don't know how to describe it. I was thinking of it in terms of, like, I mean, she's still wearing the dress. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is literally happening when she's about to get married. So, like, that happens. And I was thinking there could be, like, the veil, like, flowing too. There'd be a lot of flowing of, like, her dress and the veil.
What's weird is Ellen's describing the sort of visual that you're seeing in your mind.
Yeah.
And I told you this before. Mm-hmm. I imagined this as a top-down game when you first explained it to me.
Yeah.
Because I thought you'd be spinning the hammer around.
Oh, sure.
But as you described it more to me, and as you're talking now, what I had to, like, reset my thinking.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, like, Castlevania.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Sort of gothic. Lots of candles.
Mm-hmm.
And that flowing, you know,
yeah,
concept. So I'm that's the closest analog I can think of.
Sure.
Other than the fact there'd be way more enemies, than you see in a Castlevania,
yes.
and it wouldn't be styled in that way, or wouldn't be the levels wouldn't be built that way. But the look feels to me.
I'm kind of thinking of, like, solid color. I'm not good at describing art things, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna try. I'm kind of thinking of, like, solid colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dress is just, like, all white, and there's not really a lot of core on it. It's just, like, a solid white color. And even the veil, maybe it's, like, a little transparent, but it's, like, it's still, like, a white color.
Mm-hmm.
Sledgehammer is kind of just, like, almost two, I mean, maybe a little more detailed, but, like, basically two rectangles.
Right. So not, like, or not an ornate artifact, just a sledgehammer.
Just a sledgehammer, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And so have y'all played Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, okay. Okay, well, there are some levels in Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze where, like, most of the character and the backgrounds are, like, just, like, black silhouettes,
mm-hmm.
Except for, like, DK's tie and, like, Diddy's, like, hat and shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, solid red.
Yeah.
I kind of want some scenes, maybe not, like, the whole game, but some scenes to feel like that, where, like, you can see more detail on the character most of the time, but, like, maybe you're fighting a really intense boss or something,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the colors just, like, fade in this way, and then, like, you just see the white dress and veil, and then enemy with certain aspects of it, a certain colors.
It's funny because now that you describe that,
yeah,
I'm thinking a lot of, and I hope this doesn't feel insulting, but I'm thinking of, like, okay. Kill Bill.
Which, oh, okay.
Has a character called the Bride,
yeah.
who goes on a revenge story.
Oh, yeah.
And that has a lot of that that samurai cinema, kung fu cinema, kind of, like, kabuki style, where you'd eventually, the couple scenes are in outline, stylized in that way. And I'm hearing a little bit of that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you want to draw those kinds of comparisons necessarily.
To be honest, I have not seen Kill Bill, so okay. I don't know. I'm not offended because I don't know enough about
the
movie. I think the way you're describing it kind of works in the way that I'm thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
I
could also imagine this game going the entire game where, other than maybe at the very beginning, you don't actually see anything. It's all through screens. And it has the, like, color filters and outlines and silhouettes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you face a boss, but you don't really know what it looks like. You just know what it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm hearing you describe.
Yeah.
And it might be very heavily stylized. Maybe each level is a different palette or something.
Yes.
And then the Sledgehammer Bride is the only consistent one or something.
Yeah.
And has a kind of a real, not quite paper cutout, but, like you were saying, have solid flat colors.
That's a lot of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, and I think I'm realizing that, like, for some reason, maybe part of the influence from some of this is, like, there was this book I used to read when I was a little kid called The Snowy Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just this little boy. He's got, like, a bunch of red on, and he walks around in a snowy day. And I think I remember a lot of there being, like a lot of flat colors and stuff in that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So, like, I guess it's reminded me of that some. I don't know if that is, like, I'm subconsciously influenced by that or not, but, like, that could be an aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, like, the way you're describing it though, Mark, I think that is kind of how I'm looking at it, is, like, almost not exactly cut out, but, like, kind of like that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, like, for progressing through the world? Like, you think there are boss battles, there will be a final boss, I imagine.
Yeah. You gotta, this somewhere.
Does it beat them up. Do you imagine it being like four large worlds that have mini bosses along the way, or lots of small levels, or you know, like a Mario style world with levels in them?
Yeah, sure. Like,
what's your conception there?
That's a good question. I think for like, but now I'm starting to think of it in terms of like replayability and like what the consumer would want. I think I would like there to be like individual levels, not that many individual levels, like maybe honestly like six. I don't want this game to be very big. Like six individual levels, and you can replay them as many times as you want, to get a better score, because I guess I'm also imagining there might be like a scoring system and stuff too. I haven't thought about that really at all, but like it could be kind of interesting. Just for like players for replayability purposes and stuff. But I also don't want it to be too gamey in that way.
Yeah.
You know, like making it feel like you can replay it for a better score feels weird, but I also want people to be able to replay it because, you know, it's fun. Yeah. So like, it's fine.
I'm just pitching you ideas now.
That's fine. That's
I was thinking the same thing. Like, you kind of want, especially if you want to maintain that sort of sense of anger, like you shouldn't care what your score is, right?
Yeah.
If there's an enemy who gets by you and is behind you, you shouldn't care to go back and destroy it because you have a mission.
Yeah.
But then maybe, but that anger is like, you really are going to destroy every one of these minions.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of a higher score, what if every bit of damage you deal does some damage to the final boss? And once you reach the final boss, depending on how well you did, like, then, do you know what I mean? Some kind of, so there'd be a reason to replay it for that purpose. So maybe if you did so well and you were just such a badass all the way to the end of the game, the final boss just says, I'm out of here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some like difficulty balancing there, and like, I don't know if that's, you know, good, how satisfying that's going to feel to certain players, but that would be an opportunity to replay, because then you could try another way where you avoid all the enemies and then you have a really hard boss battle at the end.
Sure.
So it'd be different ways to play it, I suppose. It'd be some replayability there, and it would fit thematically a little bit. I'm just trying to like some reason, some story reason or some mechanical reason why playing it again for a higher score would leverage into the rest of what the game does.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of us making a sense of it from a narrative perspective. I don't know that that's the way to do it personally. I don't think, just because like it, like, I think the incentivizing players to avoid enemies seems counterintuitive to what I want from the game.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's just if you're doing it, if you're like playing a weird way, I suppose.
Yeah. Like, well, because then it sounds like we're playing it for achievements, and you know I don't like achievements. I don't want that to happen.
Yep.
So I think that like I would want to avoid it from that perspective. But like,
well, maybe that's what it is. Is that it's like if you, it just becomes, the game just becomes impossible. Then like you cannot progress without
meeting,
bashing some skulls. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
like maybe mechanically you could. Maybe it wouldn't be that hard to just walk by them.
Yeah.
But then you just can't beat the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, teach the player that like, you know, knocking them out is your only option.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely want that.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess, like, you having, I think that players, I guess I'd have to see that. Because I feel like in most beat-em-ups, like, when, you know, there's a bunch of enemies and stuff, they will sometimes allow you to just walk right past them. But most of the time, they just force, they'll literally lock the door and you're forced to fight all the enemies.
Right,
and then the door will open up. And I was imagining that for this game. If you could do it so that like you could avoid all the enemies all the time, I think generally speaking, players, if they're coming from a background where they're experienced in beat 'em ups, they will beat all the enemies up anyways, because ideally it's fun.
Right.
So they'll just do that anyways. But I imagine if you're not from a beat 'em up background, like you'd be like, why am I dealing with all these enemies anyways? I need to go, you know, get my spouse.
Yeah.
I guess fiance. I can say spouse, but they're not married yet.
Yeah.
So like I don't know that that would work either, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to think of a way to give the players some agency in that choice, and then giving that choice value. But you're kind of right. People will just do it anyway, so they won't learn anything.
Yes.
Well, it's the way that you're describing it, Mark, makes me think of like a trade-off dynamic, right? So you can try to go through and get your fiance back as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Or you can take a little bit more time and become more powerful. So your victory feels more secure.
Yeah.
Your eventual victory feels more secure.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the question of how does the player get more powerful? How does the player, I guess, and the bride get more powerful?
I think generally speaking, I wasn't thinking of any kind of leveling system or anything like that. I was just thinking the player just gets better at the game.
Where you've got that sledgehammer, what else do you need?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Right.
So that
could be like a back of the box thing. It's like no upgrade system because you just have all the power immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, your first upgrade was getting the sledgehammer.
Yeah, that'd be great too visually to have like a stats thing, and then at the very beginning you pick up the sledgehammer and all the stats go to max.
Yeah,
and then that's just the end.
Oh my god,
that's awesome.
That menu is that screen is always in the menu.
Yeah. For no reason at all. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I like that as a meta thing. Mm-hmm. I think just the player is just going to get.
Yeah.
Ideally, we'll get better at the game. And then you know, like assuming we can figure out a way to narratively make sense of like just being better at it or getting more points and replaying games and stuff.
Well, it could be where enemies keep spawning until you destroy a certain number of them.
Yeah.
And so it's really just a matter of how fast you can beat them all up.
Yeah, time would work too.
Right.
Yeah. And that would work with the narrative conceit because you want to do it as fast as possible. Yeah.
And it could be that if you blow by some enemies and go to the next level, then there'll be more enemies in the next level and they'll be a little harder to take on.
Yeah.
So there's like an incentive to try to like, you know, like pace your destructiveness or something. Like a consistent thwomping of your enemies.
Thwomping.
Right? Instead of trying to like speed through a certain section because then it will punish you later for that. Or
if you want an extra challenge, you speed through it and then you take on like 50 demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And either that it, like I'm thinking of like a speedrunner strategy. Like do we want to reward a speedrunner for like skipping a bunch of stuff and then doing a bunch of hard things at the end fast?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to punish them and actually force the speedrunner to pace themselves in order to beat the game faster?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, those are aspects of some speedrunning games.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of us, of the player like being timed on it and maybe not even having a scoring system.
Yeah.
And just focusing on the time, like how quickly you could do it. That seems good. And it seems like it makes a lot of sense
about
the game. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe, that I mean, works. I'm trying to think of a narrative conceit for timing. It could be that I suppose there's something really powerful that opening scene of being like snatched from the altar, but there might be a kind of idea of like, you know, rather than seeing the would-be spouse get kidnapped, you're like getting ready in the cloakroom and then someone comes in and said, they took him, you know? And so the idea is you got to get him back before the wedding starts.
No. That's funny.
Yeah. Because you've only got this thing booked for today.
Yeah. Can't afford any other day.
We'll lose our deposit. We're not insured against demons.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Hey, folks. We know you love the show. We know that for a fact. You don't need to write in and tell us if you do or don't.
Right.
But do if you want to. You've said the URL before.
Fair enough. But I'm here to talk about our Discord channel, which is a place you can go if you love the show, if you like the show, if this is the first time you've heard the show and want to talk about it, you can go to our Discord channel. Nicegames.club/Discord will get you the invite, and I'll hit said right into that channel. You can talk with other Nice Games Club listeners about the topics we're talking about in this episode, in other episodes, or you can just bring up your own topics and talk with a like-minded community. You know, if you're a game dev working on a build, go ahead and share your concepts.
Yeah.
Like, see what other folks who listen to the show have to say. And, you know, if there's something you have a question on, maybe you didn't understand something we said because we said it clumsily, ask for some clarification. There'll be other people to help you out. And we do pop in from time to time to say hello and answer some questions.
Yeah.
It's a really fun community, and we've gotten a lot of satisfaction seeing listeners interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really, really great. That's and cool. So if you've, you know, got the inclination, join them.
Yeah.
Where can they find that, Stephen?
Nicegames.club/Discord.
Ellen, double checking.
Nicegames.club/Discord.
Sounds right to me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We were discussing the intro, and before that we were discussing powering up, which yes. we actually talked about being skill up rather than powering up. And I kind of kind of like that. And you were talking about like the dynamics of speed. So speed is one of the reasons that you might want to play the game again, is you're gonna rescue your fiance even faster this time because you've been able to get better at wielding that awesome sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like no new game plus, just a matter. This is a thing to master.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, I mean, you know, you just play the game a bunch.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is kind of what I'm looking for with this. Yeah.
So if you're getting better as the game progresses, I'm assuming that also the enemies will get harder.
Well, they will. There will be new enemies, I guess, to face.
Yeah, yeah.
In each of these. Now I'm saying six levels, but I don't know. It could be less or more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the enemies will necessarily get more difficult. Like, I don't think they'll get more damage spongy or anything like that. I think like you'll have to approach them in different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you'll have to utilize more of your, but well, maybe have to utilize more of your moveset in order to deal with them.
Well, now you sort of started talking about this character kind of like a fighting game character in terms of their moveset.
Yeah.
And so that does seem to be sort of how you are approaching this beat 'em up. It's not like a traditional beat 'em up.
Well, yeah, most beat 'em ups. Yeah, I guess I'm not thinking of like what's the name, Final Fight or not Final Fight.
Streets of Rage or something.
Yeah, Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking of it in terms of that kind of beat 'em up. I'm thinking of it as a platformer that is also a beat 'em up.
Yeah.
So like the game I'm thinking of when I think of games like this is called Shank. There's a sequel called Shank 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a platformer, but you also, you know, jump around and shank.
You get stabby.
It's a good way of describing it. So yeah, I'm thinking of it in that way, but like you have but your moveset is more complicated than like punch button, kick button.
Yeah. So that lends itself to enemies that become more tactically challenging rather than more bullet spongy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and narratively and interest curve-esque wise, mm-hmm. I don't know. That makes sense for the game to like, you know, have more different challenges you have to overcome.
Yeah.
As you progress. Like initially you're just fighting, you know, you're beating up the same demon you beat up to get your sledgehammer. But like later on you start fighting, I don't know, maybe the demon has shields, or maybe it's a really heavy demon and you can't like lift it in the air while you're fighting it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that would come up.
Yeah.
I had to think about that. I haven't like figured out all of the different kinds of enemies and stuff, but I mean, I don't have to because I'm not working on the game yet, so it's fine.
What about bosses? You know they're going to be in there. What other than the sort of like the scale difference that has that visual excitement?
Yeah.
What like I'm thinking of like Finjin's bosses that have like patterns and phases.
Yeah.
Is that something similar that you do for this game? Would they have minions or adds, as they're known?
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of it in terms of you just literally fighting a giant beast and there not really being any small things to fight.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that's how I'm thinking of it. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there can be different kinds of them. They don't necessarily have to, well, no, I would like them to just be big behemoths.
Yeah.
That you just take down.
Through each of the six layers of heck.
Yeah. that's good. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really thought about like I'm thinking like a lot of what, and something we talk about on the show a lot of time too, like a lot of what I'm thinking about is like the feelings I want players to experience, but I haven't thought about all the nitty-gritty detail stuff that I also like doing. But like in order for me to get to that point, like you have to have made the game, then you can start tweaking things and whatever else. So I need to so I'll have to think about like what yeah, how you deal with the bosses. I'm thinking of it in terms of like the experience being just this giant thing that like has big old hitboxes,
yeah,
and hurt boxes, and you just hitting them well. And I've also been thinking about like how like the battle system will work so that like you. Like what the way I've kind of been thinking about the battle system is like you just have the light and the heavy attack. Maybe that's not enough attacks, but it'll be probably behind. You do a bunch of light attacks to get to the heavy attacks that deal more damage.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're even longer, so like they have more potential to absorb more attacks from opponents and stuff. But like it's kind of a risk reward sort of thing, because while you're doing light attacks, you're not doing heavy attacks, so you can get hit and actually take damage.
Mm-hmm.
And interrupt your combo and stuff. So I think that, and that's kind of why I'm thinking like it just being regular boss, just one boss, would make it easier for, well, it would make it easier for you to be able to have that kind of gameplay,
mm-hmm,
without you having to worry about a random enemy that you're like, that is clearly not the focus of the fight in the moment.
Yeah.
Interrupting your combo because you weren't paying attention to that. You're paying attention to the giant thing on screen.
Now, that's going to happen during the normal levels, as there'll be multiple enemies.
That's true.
And so maybe the bosses are an opportunity to, like, prove your skills.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's less randomness,
yeah,
than and the boss. Right?
Ultimately, that's what a boss is supposed to be. But that's a good point. Yeah, effectively, that would be the case. Yeah, in the regular gameplay, I'm imagining that a lot of the characters will get stunned, or a lot of the enemies, the small ones, will get, mm-hmm, stunned by light attacks as, yeah, well as heavy attacks.
You know, you should look into the, what's it, Dynasty Warriors?
Oh, series. I love Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, because that's kind of a little bit that it seems like a little flavor of that,
mm-hmm,
right? And I don't know how they do bosses, if they do them.
They do have bosses. I guess they're just kind of, the bosses are effectively characters that you play as, or, mm-hmm, you can play as. They have all the same kind of moves and stuff, and almost the same mechanics. But like, it's been a while since I played a Dynasty Warriors game. But from what I remember, they're just kind of bigger enemies.
Yeah,
they're like more powerful. They don't immediately get stunned by stuff. You have to hit them a few times, and then they like get stunned, and then you can do combos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're like, most of the time they're not that complicated, and a lot of it is just, a lot of Dynasty Warriors is manipulating the field so that you can hit people without getting hit yourself.
Yeah.
And less about, like, you know, using the right attack at the right time. You just need to, like, position yourself, mm-hmm, so that you're hitting as many enemies as you can.
Okay.
At least that's the way I've approached. I mean, I haven't played a lot of those games,
mm-hmm,
even though I like them. But that's the way I've approached it a lot of the time.
Well, then that raises a question of, like, you said that you don't want the game to be that difficult.
Yes.
And so,
or I want options for the game to not be difficult.
Sure, sure.
But yeah.
So the question then is, how do you balance enemies in a way where you can kind of just button mash and, mm-hmm, do okay,
mm-hmm,
but then also encourage the player to actually get better at it?
Well, that's why I'm hoping later levels will have enemies where you need to be more strategic in your move choice.
Yeah.
You can't just mash light button, then mash heavy button.
And then does that line up with your sort of like notion of like unbridled anger?
Mm-hmm.
If you have to be a lot more deliberate and strategic about your play.
That's a good question.
Unbridled.
Dang, that's going on the box. That's good.
I'm hearing a really strong concept, but I'm also hearing a lot of just what you like about games.
It's very true. And that is what I'm doing.
And I think that's, honestly, there's nothing wrong with just,
yeah,
gluing those things together. Like,
yeah,
is, no one should feel ashamed of, like, this is just what I like.
But I also complain about that when other people do it.
Yeah.
So I should at least catch myself, and if I do it, just make it a conscious decision that I'm going against what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me think about that. I think that, yeah, you having to be more precise. Well, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, just because, like, because it's an obstacle you're still trying to break down.
Yeah.
Because you need to think of you need to think about how to break down that obstacle differently. I don't think that that is counter to what the game is about.
Yeah.
I think it just forces you to direct your anger in a different way.
I mean, you can lean into that narratively. You can have, mm-hmm, the character learn to focus and direct their anger.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what you want to say. Do you know what I mean? like you can enforce that with those mechanics by having the player kind of start out as just a button mashing being the way to defeat the early enemies. Like strategic ability shouldn't matter in this first level or so, and then face some difficulty. And then players who are, you know, geared towards this kind of gameplay will find their way no problem.
Yeah.
But the story can reinforce this idea of like the character learning. But that, but I don't know if that goes entirely against what you want, which is the player to just be angry.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I don't, you don't want to bridle that anger, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Dang it, that's true.
She's getting her fiance back now, becoming a Sith Lord.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's something kind of fun about like the idea of like of having that sort of righteous cause and really just going for it with pure adrenaline and like, you know, without any kind of forethought.
Yeah.
And then as you are on that journey, learning to focus, and but that also feels a little traditional as sort of the storyline goes.
I don't think I want that. I don't want that. So that's a good point. So I mean maybe
what you do is you can reward players who take more risks.
I was gonna say, reward players who take more risk or reward players who, you know, are more, because like I guess ultimately optimal play will be the fastest play, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you can reward players for knowing how to being more direct with how they're expressing their rage, I guess, and being more direct with how they're approaching the different enemies. But maybe you can also make it so that like you could just kind of hit stuff for the most part and you don't have to learn the combos. Because really, that's how a lot of beat 'em ups work. It's like they have a scoring system that's really in depth and stuff because like players who really want to enjoy that and get like understand the entire systems around a lot of the beat 'em ups can access that and get rewarded with fancy scores and getting good rankings and all this stuff. Where as like players, if you just want, but it allows the game to be more approachable in that you don't necessarily need to learn all this stuff because the score might not matter to you.
And it
can be the same case in that like you don't have to learn all these things because the time might not matter to you, as long as it's not like it doesn't take like 2 minutes to take out one enemy unless it's a boss. Like that would be bad. But it could just be that like you're able to take out enemies more quickly if you understand the systems around the game better.
Do you have an idea of sort of escalating power, like the more enemies you know the combos, like the more powerful, and maybe that could be an unlimited curve?
I'm only thinking of it in terms of like the combos you have access to, like if you press light button 5 times and then hit heavy button, you get a longer, more powerful hit than if you just hit light button 2 times and press the heavy attack button.
Okay, I'm thinking of like, you know, going longer without taking a hit.
I get that. I'm not really thinking of it. And I
have, that'd be a way to reward a strategy.
Yeah.
And then also, once you have that power, reward risk.
Yeah.
You know, like once a player gets through like 6 or 7 enemies, well, probably 20 or 30, they get powered up so much they can easily take out the next run of them, but they have to take some chances to do it.
Yeah.
And so that becomes less about knowing the optimal, like early as you're building that power, you want to be really good at the sort of like at the strategic attacks.
Yeah.
But then later when you're just like that sledgehammer is swinging, you have to take lots of risks to keep the power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I haven't thought about that. But
yeah, I wouldn't have any idea how that would work.
That's fine. Again, we're just talking about it.
Yeah.
No one's making this game yet.
Yeah.
I think that like that could be interesting. That could be engaging. I think that could be something. I don't know though. Because I don't think it's what does that do? I guess that makes it, that encourages players to be more, yeah, I guess that's fine. I know I'm not actually finishing any sentences. Sorry.
This is live pondering happening on the show. I love
this
it.
This is how I think, is I just jump between sentences instead of completing any of them. I think that what it does is it encourages players. It makes it clear that optimal play involves not getting hit, or, you know, when you get hit, you're doing a heavy attack, so you're not technically getting hit. Or you're not taking damage. Optimal play is not taking damage and hitting as much as possible, which is probably a good thing. And I think that like when you're describing this power curve thing, are you thinking that like the bar just once you get it to a certain point, it just stays at a certain point, and you deal more damage when you have that
power. I almost think there'd be something funny about it being unlimited. Like, if you can just keep, you know, wrecking fools in a row without either taking a hit or the equivalent of taking a hit in this game, it can just grow exponentially. And you would, but as it grows, as it grows and grows and grows, it becomes easier to lose it, you know? And so you could put a technical limit on it, but it would be far higher than any player could actually reach.
Sure.
The question is that that one little phrase in there, as you go along and it gets bigger, it becomes easier to lose. Mm-hmm. That's the part that doesn't really have an anchor yet.
It would be a way also that you the player could be invincible, because it could just be it's hard to progress unless you have some of that power. Mm. And like, it's just hard to get through enemies unless you have built up that combo, that power.
Yeah.
And but none of them could ever kill you.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I can imagine, like, one way this could manifest itself is it could increase the speed in which your animation, your heavy attack animations go or come out, because the faster the attacks come out, the smaller window of time in which you are, you have your super armor. So you're likely more vulnerable, but like you can deal more damage more quickly over time.
I like that trade-off.
That is kind of interesting.
That's really cool.
That would be neat. And you can, I mean, scale it indefinitely up to a point, I guess. There are, you know, there are equations you can do to make it scale ultimately infinitely up to where we want it to actually scale.
But just imagine a speedrunner just blazing through that last level at full power, and it just, you know, white knuckled, because any mistake would wreck it, but you just go all the way just right to the end of the boss.
Yeah.
And then once, and if you make it to a boss with that high level, it's like a huge advantage.
Demons flying everywhere. Kapow.
That would be interesting. I that's something I'd think about, because that's kind of cool. I kind of like that idea. But what does it change? Because like, and then it's like the changes the pacing of the game, like, because you can start blazing through the game, which I guess is what you want, but I don't want them to blaze through it too fast.
Well, ultimately, this is where like playtesting and balancing really lets you decide the pace.
Yes.
And those are your favorite things.
Yeah, I do like that.
So not only will it be a game that you like playing, it'll be a game that you like making.
Yes, that's the goal.
That's key, yeah.
So what's the next step?
Well, I am, I'm in a new place.
Yeah.
All right, job-wise. So like, I feel like I have a team that can help me actually perceive this as an actual game. So hopefully I can get them on board with this idea. So I'm hoping I can like pitch it to them sometime soon, and then we can talk about it then, and then maybe workshop it from there. But like, I guess next step really is make prototype.
Hey, that means we can play it.
I mean, you could probably get started on that right now.
Yes. That's more work.
I mean, we do have a hiatus coming up.
Oh, we'll see. Then we're going to put more work on my hiatus. We'll see. I do really want this game to exist.
Mm-hmm. I am already excited for like merch, because I can imagine this like life-size replica sledgehammer just like on my wall.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm seeing like you described the prop as being very simple, but I'm thinking of it like having a yellow handle.
Oh, okay.
Like, so just the sledgehammer bride is just like the sort of the white dress, the dark skin, yellow handle and silver like pommel.
Oh,
just
okay.
That being like a really strong visual.
Yeah.
Like those just like flat colors, really bold, and without having to give it any kind of ornateness. That's what's just been in my head since you mentioned that.
Okay.
Like safety yellow or like?
Yeah, like safety yellow. I love it. For sure. Like the kind you'd find at a job site. Just.
Huh. That's cool. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh, I guess I didn't describe the sledgehammer is the size of like the character.
Yeah.
I should have described it. I hope that's the picture that people were getting.
For sure. For sure.
There's some comical scaling involved.
Yeah, it's as large as the player you were playing as.
Mm-hmm.
It's a demonic sledgehammer, not just like it might look like it came from a job site, but a demonic job site.
Yeah. Dang it. Well, now so, I want to make it.
Sorry.
Yes. Mission accomplished. Good job, Mark. High five.
Well, I mean, we've now put it down to tape, your initial thoughts, and you've got a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And I hope you find some time to just for like put together a prototype at some point, just to see how it feels to you. Yeah. You know, and then you've got an avenue of trying to sort of, you know, bring it to a team. But I think those can work on separate tracks if you like.
Yeah, they can. They definitely can.
I want to hear more about this, you know, soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I'll have some news soon.
Cool.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hey, that's our show. Check out our website, nicegames.club, for show notes and links to resources on today's topics, including, I don't know, Stephen, maybe some of your notes?
Maybe.
maybe not.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode and on the show overall at nicegames.club/feedback. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter at nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and a quick checklist. Or you can email us, contact@nicegames.club. You want to support the show? Well, if you do, there are so many ways. You can give us a review on your favorite podcast app, tell your friends about your favorite episodes, join us on Discord by visiting nicegames.club/discord, and also, we're on Patreon. As a patron of the show, you'll enjoy bonus content, extra jokes, and more. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Another successful nice thinking, would you say?
Yes. Hey, we did it 3 times. And now I'm off the hook. I did mine.
you're free from having another idea ever again.
That's the dream.
Sledgehammer Pride.
During when Steven does the intro, you should be like, the whole time.
I mean, you got it. You can clip it out. And
yeah, but he won't be distracted, and that's what we want.
No!
I won't do it, Steven.
It's too late.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.